What if I told you that on average women take more days off than men?
Still.
So as an employer, I know that. I'm not going to pay the woman the same as the man. Not, so let's start with a result from last week's agree to disagree. Who remembers what last week's agree to disagree was?
Will we ever reach
equality?
Oh, yeah, equality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't believe most people say I disagree.
I voted for that. I said I agree.
So the statement was gender equality will never be reached.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I didn't say you didn't say it.
Okay.
And I think when I checked, most people say it agrees. And
yeah. So I think all the girls said agree. You said disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Drum roll, please.
It was like 70%
result in, and it is 80% to 20% agree.
Yeah.
So 80% of people agree that.
I'd be curious to see the genders of the 80 and the 20.
Most agree were women. No, to be fair, I also agree with the statement. Gender equality will not be reached.
We're talking about the listeners right now.
Yeah, because someone said a good point. He said, firstly, they don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah.
So you can't reach a destination that you don't know what it is.
Everyone has their little ideas. Everybody.
Although someone did make a good point to say that.
Someone did make a good point to say that
they do agree that if a woman and a man are doing the same job, they should get paid the
same.
That's the
thing I said as well. Yeah.
We all agreed on that.
We all agreed with that one.
Don't know about that.
What?
But you're doing the exact same job. Why are you getting paid more than me?
What if I told you that on average women take more days off than men?
So
as an employer, I know that. I'm not going to pay the woman the same as the man.
That's not the condition of the employment.
What do you mean?
That's not the condition of the employment. The employment doesn't say if you take 5 days off, your pay is going to drop.
I'm saying as an employer.
You can stick that in the contract, in both of the contracts. So you know that the man is not going to take days off. You're assuming the woman is going to take the days off, I guess, based on date or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can stick it in both their contracts that if you work less than this amount of days in a year, your pay package will be so. You can work it in. You don't have to assume that every woman is going to work less days, because it's not going to be every woman. There are CEO
there
women,
are women who that work they really work hard.
So
really
what do you mean
hard?
Work?
As in... Where you're non-stop. Saying that they take more days, women take more days off. There are women
average,
who really work a lot of the day, 24/7.
Yeah, 100%. But those women don't determine the rest of the women.
Why do they need to be put in the group where they're getting less? Because
my argument would be those women that you're talking about, their pay reflects that.
So you're basically just saying.
But then either way, that's
frustrating in itself, because let's say in a workplace you have five women, one constantly takes days off, the rest are in work every single day. They should be punished for this one.
Imagine
they should not be paid the same as you, even though they're doing the same job as you on a day-to-day basis. So shouldn't it be reflected on this one woman?
Exactly.
And I'm sure with most people, but in most workplaces, isn't that the case? If you're not in work for a certain number of days without a valid reason, they're going to deduct your pay.
No, I'm not talking about excessive work days off, as in it's an issue, you have to see HR. I'm just talking about no more days off that, people take days off. And no, that's fine. I don't disagree about the five women and the one woman.
Aren't those statistics going to be like that? Because most workforces are women anyway.
I don't understand that point.
So you're saying statistics say more women take days off than men.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is
the average woman takes more days off work than the average man. I'm not talking about that there's more women in bulk off than men.
Are those statistics still not based on the number of men versus the number of women? Because if in a workplace you have two men, but 30 women, yes, the women are going to take more days off.
No. So in that workplace, you have two men, but 30 women. Mm-hmm. And on average, those 30 women compared with those two men, each of them individually on average take more days off than the two men. So I'm not saying on average there's more women taking days off than men. I'm saying the average woman on average takes more days days off than the average man.
I think it should be on each merit. If there's one person that's slacking, yes, duck their pay. But if I'm doing the same job as you, don't punish me because other women are calling in sick.
Okay. No. So it's not about punishing because other women are calling in sick. I was just saying that if that's what the stats reflect, when you're hiring someone, you're saying that shouldn't play a role in determining their compensation.
It shouldn't, because you don't know what kind of women they are. They could be the hardworking ones as well. You have an interview with me.
So essentially,
or I have an interview with you.
Essentially, the data shows you that women take more days off. Mm-hmm. But you don't know if that woman you're hiring is going to take more days off.
Okay, so when you're hiring her, you put her on the same level as the man. Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A year later, you realize that, this woman is an average woman. She takes more days. She's an average woman. Yeah,
okay.
On average,
I don't even know what that means.
Average woman in the context of
the amount of days that she's taken off. Okay. So, if you compare to our male counterpart, she has taken significantly more days off than the male counterpart.
Then you have a conversation
at the end of the year. Yeah. Do you reduce her pay?
Yeah, you have the conversation.
No, but the conversation is saying what? Don't take days off.
No. Here's the thing.
You've been taking a lot.
Because the stat is for valid reason. They're not slacking off work. This is the thing. They're not slacking off work. They're not lazy. They're valid reasons that they
don't go off. Then why am I being punished for a valid reason of not being in work?
Because
from an employer's point of view,
that is a good point.
I will still sit down and say that.
No, your reason before you come in. Yeah? I agree with you. Yeah, because why are you being punished for something that's valid? Yeah, you shouldn't be punished.
Therefore,
you should be compensated accordingly to begin with.
Who? The man?
The woman.
Compensated how? By taking pay away from you?
No. There is no taking pay away from you if I pay
already
you...
Already pay me less.
To begin with, yeah.
No, but you, that's you assuming I am going to take those days off. What if I don't take those days off?
Okay, so there's two options here, yeah? It's either I start you on the same level as the man.
Yes.
Yeah?
Which is...
At the end of the year, I review and see that you took more days off than your male counterpart, and then I dock your pay.
But then that should be the same for every employee. Because what if the man took 2 days off and I took 4 days off? Is his pay getting docked?
2 days. You mean more? Five days off.
If I took four days off,
I think the point isn't necessarily on the number of days.
It's about productivity.
Productivity.
Okay, fine.
Who's more productive in the workplace?
That is even worse, because someone who works from home can be, or something like that, or you can be more productive in less time and still have more days off, but still work efficiently. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So yeah, then, outliers. We can't deal with outliers. Those kind of data, we can't work with that.
I think unless it's stipulated in the contract... You've employed me. Mm-hmm. You don't know how I'm going to work. You don't know how many days I'm going to take off. It is what it is.
That's fine, which is why I'm going to start you lower.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's
prejudice.
What if you have
juice? What kind of juice is that?
Are you ever going to start a man lower?
Huh?
But then that's assuming that you're going to get... What if you employ a man and he takes way more days off than the average woman?
You dock his pay too.
But you haven't started docking it from the start.
I haven't started docking the woman from the start either.
But that's what you were saying.
No.
Dock it from the start.
No, because I was saying, okay, after the year...
You said that, right?
Yes, I did say
that. Okay.
Because I said, after the year, do you then dock the woman's pay? You guys said no, because why am I being punished for something?
I said yes.
Because you said yes. They said no.
But
you said,
put it in the contract.
So I'm saying, okay, that's fine. To avoid that situation of being docked...
Your productivity will be reviewed at the end of every year. If it's not meeting a certain threshold, your pay will be dropped.
You only said something earlier. I'd stop you.
When you said yes, when you said no?
I don't remember. But, okay. What was I going to say? Anyway, here's what I'm trying to say, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you want to not cause problems, with this sort of inequality thing, I think from an employer's point of view, productivity is everything. I think you're investing money in an asset that you're hoping is going to make you
more money. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if you are looking at your people, your workforce that is, and one of them is not producing as much as they're supposed to, valid reasons or not, you're more than within your right, I believe, to have a conversation, right? This company may not be your best fit. Because if you have, let's say, just an example, maybe childcare issues, or I don't know, maybe you've got an illness of some sort, that, you know, whatever it is, maybe you're taking, I don't know why women take more days off or on average, but whatever it is that they do, my company doesn't have to suffer for it, right? That's not my business.
And usually,
I could be a human.
I'm sure the statistics would say a lot of women take more days off because of childcare, because even though we're back to the gender equality thing, even though society wants to deny gender roles and all that kind of thing, if school call and say Bobby is sick, it's usually mom that's going to take the day off and take Bobby to the hospital or stay at home with Bobby. Or even
that's not, as an employer, that's not my problem.
I know it's
that's
not your problem. I know it's not your problem as an employer, but I'm just saying, you mentioned reasons as to why women take more days
fair
off.
Enough.
So there already has to be that understanding.
Yeah.
For I work in a school. If there's ever an issue, you rarely hear, let's ring dad. The only time we ring dad, if mom doesn't answer.
Their parents. Oh, okay.
Fair enough. But my point is, I don't have to care about that. Now, most companies will, you know, look at that and so on and so forth, you know, because companies are trying to be, you know.
No, it's law.
Is it law now?
Yeah, it's law. It's been law. It's been law.
Well, what's been law?
What's law?
Companies, you have to take that into account as a company.
And not just for moms, for dads as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like fair enough. Like childcare issues are not a fireable offense.
Yeah, no, you don't. Yeah, fair enough.
For lack of a better word.
I wasn't talking about childcare in particular, but yes, you know, whatever reasons are, as an employer, I can sit down and say that, okay, fair enough, I can't fire you, but I'm looking at your productivity and the money that I'm paying you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have to pay you crazy loads of money, and you're not producing enough. So we can sit and say that, okay, you've had childcare issues, that's understandable. You've had hospital appointments, that's understandable. You've had all this and that, understandable, but your output is still far less than your male counterparts and other female counterparts, for argument's sake, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, we will sit down and we'll have to talk about your pay.
But a lot of employers do that already anyway. Wherever you work,
never cut
in. There is there's a sickness policy in most places where you work.
Sickness policy.
Yeah.
When you get the whole pay for a month.
Let's say 5 days you can be sick, maybe without a note. But then after that, you have to provide medical evidence as to why you're off. Otherwise, you're not getting
paid.
Even
that,
without that medical evidence, they're not paying you because you're voluntarily off work.
For the time that
you're because I think Chin is coming from a general point of the overall, like, let's say the monthly salary gets cut, because most...
But without a reason, the monthly salary does get cut.
No.
How?
Wouldn't that work on if you are like on an hourly kind of thing?
No, so if you're guessing, if people don't read your employment contracts,
I don't know.
No, but you're talking about being sick.
I don't have one.
No,
I work for myself.
No, because if you're sick, that's for
I give myself my own contract to sign.
When you're okay and you go back to work, and you're working, oh, that was your meant to. Your pay doesn't get reduced permanently.
Yeah, but then why is your pay being reduced if you're working as you should?
No, but then this is what? Okay. No, what I was throwing for food for thought.
Mm.
Yeah, it was saying that the argument is a man and a woman should be paid the same if they're doing the same job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm saying in that same job that they're doing, yeah, the stats show that the woman takes a lot more days off than the man.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they are doing the same job. But if we look at output, productivity, you know, core time, the man is actually doing more work than the woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, should they really be paid the same? Because even though they're employed as the same thing on paper,
what if
the fruits, the man
what
is
if my fruits
producing
are still bigger
more
than the man's and he's been at work more than me?
Well,
what then?
If that's the case, fine. But then this is why companies have bonuses, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because bonuses reflect the output that someone puts above and beyond what they're expected to put. But we're talking about just the normal base rate salary, whatever. Yeah. So that was the thing I was throwing out there to say, if that's the case, can an argument be made to say, no, actually, and a man and woman should not be paid the same, even though they're in the same job. Now, of course, I appreciate the fact that you can't punish all women for the majority of women, because it is the majority. So we're not talking about a few, the majority of women. take more days off than men. Like I said,
valid reasons. Are you okay?
I'm fighting with sleep, man.
Like I said, valid reasons. Okay, so.
Because second, you genuinely fell asleep then, for a good two seconds.
Second thing then. What if, I'll tell you that the stats in the male and women pay discrepancy is because men are more likely to go to the boss and say, yo, I need a pay rise. But the women don't do that. So let's say, for example, the first year they're on the same rate.
Yeah.
The second year the man has gone up because he's had a conversation with the boss. The third year he's had another conversation. He's gone up. The fourth year, by 7 years, he's like 15 grand above the woman. But it's because he's been going to ask for
I'm not mad at that. Yeah, I think what I would be mad at is, let's say there's a job advertisement online, and you know how they put the pay on there?
The band.
If you're a woman, 20K. If you're a man, 25K. But the job description is still the same. But if you've used your charm and said, my guy, you need to give me a raise, that's calm. I'm not mad at that. If that's the reason for the pay discrepancy, I'm not mad at that.
I don't know. I think it... Okay. Yes, I'm not mad at that either. But then... If you are the employer and someone comes to you and then they raise the points, or, you know what, I've been doing A, B, C, D, I believe I deserve a raise. Yeah? They are not saying that don't raise anybody else's wages. They've just gone up, and by looking at their numbers, you know, maybe because they are confident, whatever, and they're saying that, okay, I need a raise. I feel like... okay, I agree with Hassan, that's fine. But I feel like the employer can go an extra mile and check the productivity of everybody else and see if everybody else needs a pay raise.
But you're saying as an employer, you're not trying to lose money.
Gonna do that? Yeah. Sorry? Exactly. Why as an employer are you going to do that?
But that's the whole point that we are... I mean, that's the very reason why we are sat here talking about pay raise.
Because what would you say about incentives? So, for example, when you work for, like, the council or something, some councils do this... Every year you work for the council, your pay goes up. So you could be doing the same job as somebody, but because you've been there far more time than them, you get paid more.
Yeah, that's fine, because that incentive pushes you to stay there longer. So that's an award for those that have served there longer. So you can't go there 3 months and then you're saying, okay, I need to be getting paid same as someone that's been there 15 years. What they have given to that company that time is worth what they're getting paid. You see? So that's fine. I don't think that's inequality. I think that's the council trying to retain workers, because we all know working for these people isn't always the best. People be dipping in and dipping out. Hey, yo, I thought I wanted to be a social worker. I quit.
I feel personally attacked. I actually feel personally attacked for some reason.
I was going to finish up by saying that now I'm a janitor at a school. I'll be out here hoovering this hose.
I get home at 4:30.
Jenny has do make money.
You know what? I want to be a bin man, because them lot are be collecting.
Really?
Bin men. Yeah, bin men get paid. What?
Really?
Well, since we're talking about gender equality and stuff, and men and stuff, and I'm saying that, but this really doesn't relate anything. But I guess it's about society and how society works right now. So, agree to disagree. We're talking about the UK, right? Students should be required to pass classes before moving on to the next.
They do that in other countries, isn't it? I agree, but I'm glad that I'm not
in the UK.
Normal.
You can go up even if you don't pass.
Yeah, how do you think?
Have you ever heard of someone being held back in the UK?
Every year you just mwah into the next year.
I've been to university.
Just notice you're getting lower in your sets.
I disagree.
Right, so the agree disagree. Students should be required to pass before they move on to the next class. Fatsani agrees.
I agree.
Chisa agrees. Yeah, so Pro Nick disagrees. Okay, Fatsani, go.
With everything else in life, you sort of have to pass one stage to get to the next stage, because there's certain skills you need to show that you can do to confidently get to the next level. Why don't they do that with school? Because you see kids literally struggle in like year 9 because they still don't understand things from year 6. And it's like, at that point, you're expecting them to be covering even higher and higher and higher and higher and higher work. Mm-hmm. And then you get to, I don't know, they've done their GCSEs, but they've not passed. And it's like, what now? Mm-hmm. Luckily, in this country, there's opportunities that don't need you to have those mm-hmm. kinds of qualifications, which is fine. So maybe for this country, I can low-key disagree because of your qualifications aren't everything. But from a, I don't know, an intelligence point of view, that's why I don't think that's the word I want to use. But yeah, it just makes more sense because the way the education system is built, you're building on knowledge. You need a certain piece of knowledge before you can add another knowledge. If you haven't understood that piece of knowledge, how then are you expected to build on it?
Mm. Yeah. You also agreed? Same reasons?
I did. Pretty much, yeah. I mean, in other countries, that's how they're doing it as well, isn't it? You get pulled back until you meet the requirement of moving forward. And I think it's a good life skill, like what Fitzani has said. So, yeah, I agree. Although I'm happy I'm not in school no more, because
Pronik, why do you disagree?
All right. Up until maybe like, I don't know, some time ago, I may have agreed, you know. But I'm now viewing life differently. Right. Pay close attention, children. I'm about to lay down some wisdom.
With your eyes closed?
That's one thing when you're going
to
fall asleep.
I wanted to chuck that in there at a place where you can't edit it. But I think
he's talking about taking it out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now he's going to. All right. Here's why I disagree. I think we have enough knowledge to understand learning abilities and how students learn and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we have enough knowledge to understand that the exam system that schools use to test children doesn't work for everybody, right? And we have enough knowledge and examples of people that failed in school but later in life excelled. I'll give you an example. In that podcast I was listening to, there's a writer, I think it's a lady. I think a few of them came up, actually, who were terrible in school. Even that one of them, their English teacher, even told them that you never amount to anything, you know, something like that in writing. They are now a world-renowned writer who've written books upon, well, I don't know if it's books upon books, but they've written books, yeah? One example, the lady actually went back to school to that teacher that told them that, you know, that basically demotivated them and said to them, you could have ruined my life. You know, you know, like, you need to realize the power that you have as an educator because you could have smashed this dream that I had, but she persisted and she's a writer of books. Mm-hmm. So I think as they move up and up and up, it gives, I think I like the set system, the sets, set one, set two, set three, set four. If you are going to test them academically on who's the cleverest in class, whatever, you can have your sets one day and so on and so forth. But if there is enough staff in the school, it gives them the opportunity to look at the other children and see potentially how best they can reach those children. Some of them might be dyslexia. Some of them might need dyslexic. Some of them might just need more time in exams. Some of them might need different teaching methods, and the country can do that. You know, I don't think one
glove fits all.
One glove fits all doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore. I think, on a whole, it actually does suppress and at times kill people, children who could have potentially been great.
That's
because you viewed them as one, you know. Don't get me wrong, academic is important and there are people that excel and so on and so forth, and they need to be rewarded, they need to be, you know, spotted and things like that. But think about the ones at the bottom of the food chain. So as they move,
think about the one, you know, what did you
bottom
say?
Of food, or the food chain.
Okay,
so as they move, just it gives you time to work with them more. And remember, if you stop them and they keep failing, yeah? Until when? You have a 17-year-old
in year 7. Back home. And standard one. The man sitting next to you.
You see what I mean? And if we look at that system back home, who has it ever benefited? Who have we ever seen who was a 19-year-old in Sunday the 8th and they say, well, you know what, I'm glad I was held back 17 years. At the end of the day, you just drop out and your story becomes...
Kills your confidence as well.
You know, at school,
I don't know, it can do both. Okay, so, it can either kill your confidence.
Questions
or...
for Pronik, and then I've got questions for Fatana and Chisa. Mm-hmm. But to your question, don't you think that the fact that there's an opportunity of being held back, don't you think that would, in itself, motivate students to want to pass? Because let's be fair, the threshold of passing is not huge. It's not like we're not asking for Einsteins. You have to get the basic
that would
concepts.
That the majority of the ones that are failing because of an interest in education or laziness or boredom and
as
so
opposed
and so forth.
To
yeah, as in opposed to
struggling
to understand and finding the stuff challenging, maybe in the way that it's being taught or whatever. Mm. So we would have to determine who we are talking about. Yeah. Mm. The lazy ones and so on and so forth, I think you can look at them and look at ways of motivating them. Remember, at the end of the day, we are developing children, right? So I don't think punishment is the way forward when you are governing children, when you are molding children, right?
Why not?
But why is it punishment when you just...
Because you're saying...
No, but why isn't punishment the way forward?
Because I think because the way the world is at now, I think we can use better approaches that look at inspiring and motivating and bringing in that spark in a child that is otherwise lacking it, you know. And it could be due to that's why people like Fatsani are existing in schools, because it could be home problems, you know, it could be bullying, you know, it could be a lot of factors that are making that child appear, you know, lazy or appear uninterested, so now we have the capabilities to
I feel like in your answer you're assuming that all the other services that we have in place disappear. No, all those things remain. Obviously, I think from as little as nursery, children are observed and assessed to make sure they haven't got learning disabilities. Because if we're talking about a learning disability, I think that's a different matter. And obviously, all that would remain. No one is saying get rid of learning disability aspect of things. No. All those things would remain. We're talking about the ones that have been assessed to say that there is no learning disability, but they're just not passing. Because that is possible.
My answer still remains the same. That is possible, but my answer still remains the same. My answer is still the fact that there are better ways to reach those children, to encourage and motivate those children, understand them, understand their story, understand their struggles, understand why what it is about school. And unfortunately, it could just be that maybe school is not their thing. So you can look at vocational routes. You know, if you understand them at that point, you can say, okay, fine. You know, the kind of person...
Oi.
It's all right. You can be like, the kind of person that you are, you know, going to college, make sure you do this vocation. You can work with them a lot more. Being held back, I think that will create more dropouts, more unruly children. It will create more.
But then, can't the same be said? Children. Because what we find a lot in school is my line of work, full stop. A lot of children who misbehave and act out is because the level of work is far too hard for them. They're not understanding the work. They're not comprehending what's being said. They can't do the work. So to stop themselves from looking like an idiot, they will now want to be the class clown.
So you're saying
then that takes their attention away.
So you're saying that to tackle those children.
No, I'm challenging your thinking.
Okay.
Because obviously you're the opposite side to say. The opposite side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say they should move on with the peers, because otherwise, you know, they'll be misbehaving. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But I'm countering that to say, but a lot of behavioral problems that we see in schools is because the work is far too hard, the work is too challenging. So as a result, they'll go truanting, they'll be talking to everybody else and distracting everybody else because they don't want to show that the work is far too hard and they don't understand it.
I was a dumb child at school. I think from year 7 to year 9, I was pretty much working on the same levels. Yeah. So I moved up, but my levels remained relatively the same. So that's something that I like the set system. Yeah. So essentially, set 1, fine. Set 2, set 3, set 4, I was still trying to hit my level 3, level 4s. You see what I mean? So the work was equal to my level of understanding at the time. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And moving up like that gave me the ability to take my... Because you can literally go up the sets just like that, you know? Mm. You could literally turn on by year 10. You could be working, you know, at the bottom levels, 3, 4, you know, year 7, 8, 9. By the time you're finishing year 11... boom, you've gone up the set. Maybe you're now doing level 5, level 6, level 7s. Yeah? Mm. Because the schools are designed, well, they used to be, I don't know now, but yeah, they're designed to think about those children that are struggling. You see?
No, but then I think, I get what you're saying, but I think your situation would be completely different to other children.
In what sense? Because I was just giving my example on the sets.
I know, on the sets, but I don't think you can say you were dumb. Because your circumstances meant that you were coming into a whole completely different curriculum of learning. At on already, because how old were you when you came?
10.
What year did you start?
6. I would be year 6.
So year 6, you've already missed a lot of foundation of the kind of learning that you're doing in year 6. Mm-hmm. Because your education has been in Africa. Mm-hmm. So already, besides this one, us not here, we're already at a disadvantage. We started the British education system at a disadvantaged point. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we're good examples of
that. I get that, but my point was, take us away. My point was simply to say that those children that are finding the work hard, they are not doing set 1 pieces of work. They are doing set 4 pieces of work. Yeah, so essentially... Between year 7 and year 9, you could be working at the same level. So essentially what the school is doing is giving those children more time to understand that basic thing they need to understand.
Mm.
You see? And then once they understand that, if they manage to catch it, the level can increase literally dramatically. The level can literally just go up like
that.
The
level can go up, but at the same time, there becomes a time where that still doesn't matter in schools because you get to year 10 and 11... And unfortunately, the school's focus is GCSE results. That school wants to have good GCSE results. So regardless of how many sets you've moved up, they still want you to have good GCSE results, so that can reflect on the school.
But, GCSE results, that's the final exams that you do, isn't it? So if you've moved up the sets and you see your final exams, you could potentially come out with good results. If you haven't, if you've struggled and so on and so forth, it just means that your level, by the time you are leaving GCSE, was that. And unfortunately, that is your reality. Whether it was because you are not an academic person or you just struggled through school, that is your reality. Mm. You see? That is still far much better than leaving that guy in year 7 for 4 years. What for? Because at the end of year 10, with the basic they've gotten, options are there for them. They can still go to college and do vocational stuff. They can still do a diploma and under something, they can still progress. You know, if they want to be a nurse, they may not be able to go to their first choice, Harvard or whatever, but they can still go to a good university.
America. I know we live in England, right? Well,
Oxford. Oxford. You see what I mean? They can still go to a decent university. They might have to start with a foundation level. And then, so the system is designed to cater for everybody. If you are the bright stuff, the bright guys, you boom, boom, boom. If you are slow like some of us, you still get where you need to go. You just might have to do more work. Mm. Stopping them there for 2-3 years, and then they pass, and then you're telling them continue.
Maybe it's just like one repeat.
I mean, if you put a limit,
one repeat year.
I mean,
because even uni does that. That's what uni does. You get sent back to second year or first year when you haven't passed. When you haven't done well enough to go into second year. Because my second year will be.
But you're, I understand you for uni though, difficult. Because my nurse didn't pass first year. Nah, listen.
but for uni, you
sort of have to pass every single year if you want to be a nurse.
I repeated this thing like this course like 6 times.
Yeah? I'm well. I am healed. The doctor is like, I did that same year like 4 times as well. Yeah, mom.
Yeah, but then even if you repeat, it means that you just know better now. Mm. It means that you have learned it. Mm. Isn't it? That's what repeating is. Repeating is for you to then learn. You have learned. You are ready. You're qualified to keep on moving. So,
all right, okay, yeah. Well, those are the things, you know, just fair. You made a bit of sense today.
Yeah, it must be.
It made a sense today. Okie dokie, all right, so nice. that's everything today. From us today.
You don't get that comment very often.
That's everything for us today. I never get it. We will see you guys next week for our final episode of this series.
Is that next week?
So
it can't be next week.
For next week, it is next week. Yeah, for next week.
No, it can't be next week.
The end of this week is the 20 something.
Yeah.
No way.
Friday is the end.
Oh, so she would have been coming. Oh.
Yes. So we'll see you next week for our end of season episode.
What?
Yes. Big plans for next season. Big plans. But until then, that's a goodbye from me. That's Sunny.
And a goodbye from me. Chisa.
Until next time. Chisa. Professor Nick.
It's a bye-bye from me.
All right. And we are...